Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm going to make a statement that I think maybe everyone will agree with. No one likes a delay. Would that be a fair statement? No one doesn't like to be delayed, right? We're all about fast and quick, especially I feel like it's lately, like fast food, right? How many of us grab fast food? Anybody here grab fast food? I do. Every now and then, I will admit, I grab fast food. Have you noticed how the sit-down restaurants are trying to get it where it's quicker for you, so it's not quite fast food, but it's faster than if you would sit in a restaurant for a long period of time? We like, I think maybe I'm not alone in this, do we like quick weight loss? Okay? Because that's what we hear. We don't hear fast weight loss. We hear quick weight loss, right? I mean, boy, that grabs our attention. What is that? How about when you're at work? Do you like to go to a place where you advance quickly in your position? But we like it. We may not advance quickly, but we like hearing it. How about this? How many like it when you hear, oh yeah, you're going to earn money real quick here. You're going to get promoted real fast, right? Fast money. How about this? How many of you here, gentlemen, this might appeal to you, how many of you like fast cars? Fast cars, right? All right, maybe everyone can agree on this one. How about the speed of your internet? Faster, quicker is better, isn't it? I mean, I don't know about you, but I have found that I have become impatient. Well, I don't know. Is my husband here? He's not here. Oh, he's here. He will tell you, I have no patience when the computer is not doing, he's shaking his head, yes, what I want it to do. And I don't like to hear user operator. There's something wrong with this thing. It's not going fast enough. Or the page is not rendering fast enough. How many of us like to get to our destination faster? Right? We like fast travel. As a matter of fact, if we could cut out the whole, I've got to get on an airplane to get somewhere, we would do that. I am one who's always looking for, I don't want a stopover. I don't want to change planes. The faster we can get there, the better. How about when I was commuting? If you got on a local train, you wanted to just shoot yourself, as opposed to the express trains. When you're commuting back and forth to work, the worst thing you wanted was the local. So, and they knew, and by the way, they knew that, 6:36 at night was when the local trains would start and they would stop at every single station. Timelines. Time frames. You notice that they build in so that we don't feel like a delay that when we're traveling, they have built a delay in there. Have you ever noticed that lately? Like you'd say, wow, I got there faster than I was expecting that I was going to get there. Well, that's because they built in all these delays so that we would feel like we arrived somewhere quicker. I can remember when I was commuting from Long Island, New York to New Jersey. And if anybody is familiar with that whole city area, I would be going into work. There's no easy way to get there. So I would drive. And I would be going into from Long Island to New Jersey, you would sort of have to go through Manhattan. You didn't have to sort of go through it. You had to cross over into Manhattan. So on one side, I'm going with traffic into Manhattan. When I first started to do this, it was 34 miles, 37 miles. Shouldn't take that long, right? We can whip down to West Palm in no time here. Oh, gosh, no, not then. So when I first started to do this commute, you know when you start to do a new commute for work, you're thinking like, oh, my gosh, this is just going to take forever and ever and ever because you haven't figured out the rhythm, right, of the commute. And then all of a sudden, about a few months go by, and you recognize where there's going to be delays. So you prepare for those delays, and you know there are going to be delays there. But what happens when your entire commute is a delay, and it takes you 3+ hours to either get into work or to get home from work? We don't do well with those types of delays, do we? For me personally, I would get anxious and I would get frustrated, and the words, "I'm never going to make it home," come out of my mouth, which we know is just not true. Timelines and delays can be also a cultural thing. We were just chatting about this. You know, in the United States, timeliness is, everything is based on the clock, right? We look at the clock. I'm just going to say as far as engagements and appointments and things like that. Now, when I was doing my first Latino wedding, I didn't know that there was such a time as, you could call it Cuban time, you could call it Puerto Rican time, you could call it, I don't care what kind of time you want to call it, but in the Latino community, it's about an hour delay. Is that about right? Okay. So when I was doing it, it was actually a reaffirmation of wedding vows that was supposed to go off at 6 o'clock, and then we were all going to have dinner after. I see a lot of head shaking. They happen to be here at the event, and I know that, I think, Gina, you had shared with me one time when you were in Puerto Rico, didn't know. And so I show up like I'm supposed to, a half an hour beforehand, and I'm like, why aren't you dressed yet? Like, it's a half hour. Don't you think you ought to be dressed? And they're like, oh, yeah, we've got plenty of time. I'm thinking, we don't have plenty of time. Like, we've got a half hour here. And then I'm like, I think you should go. She goes, well, go out there and look and see how many people are there. So I was like, well, I mean, 6 o'clock. We said 6 o'clock. She goes, go out and tell me how many people. I come back, there's like 10 people. So she said, okay, we have time. And I'm thinking, what? I had no idea that it was an understood thing that when you say Cuban time, Puerto Rican time, island time, that it's an hour later. So at about 6:45, everyone starts coming in. And then this person said to me, so stick your head out there. How many are there? I said, well, it's filling up. And she said, okay, I can start to get dressed now. At 6:45. So you can imagine, I had no idea. And it was fun because when I was, I hope you're okay with me saying, when I was doing Emilio and Lily's son's wedding, and she said, remember, we're on Cuban time. And I said to her, you know something? I did learn all about that. So I was ready. So if you're not, you know, it's cultural. You would not know. And I remember Jeannie sharing a story with me when she was in Puerto Rico. The wedding was at 5 o'clock. She shows up, and the person said, what are you doing here? It's 5 to 5. And she's like, no, nobody starts coming until 6 o'clock. And she was like, well, what am I supposed to do now? But that is when you're not accustomed to a delay. But you know what? And I just want to... It just reminds me of the social norms, right? So I'm watching Big Bang Theory last night. Carl and I are watching. It's the Halloween party. Penny's, I don't know if you know the show, Penny's having a Halloween party. And Sheldon is the one who's all about social norms, right? He can't handle social. He's all about social norms, and he doesn't know how to handle them. So there's a 7 o'clock party, Halloween party, and they show up at 7:03. And she opens the door, and they say, where's your costume? Where are the people? And she says, what are you doing here? It says 7 o'clock. It's 7 o'clock. Well, the social norm is 3 to 5 minutes late. So we followed the social norm. She said, oh, no, nobody's going to be here till 8, 9 o'clock. So we know those things, right? That it depends on our group of friends. So what if the delay is 30 to 50 years later? Exactly. We might be able to handle an hour. We might be able to handle a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months, but 30 to 50 years. You see, that's what's happening in our gospel story this morning. This gospel is written to the community, Matthew's community, which is a Jewish community that has been thrown out of the temple because they are proclaiming Jesus Christ as raised and as the Savior. And so they're thrown out of the temple. And in addition, they're saying, but wait, Jesus is supposed to be back here already. Because in their minds, when Jesus said that he would be returning, they thought like, well, 3 days in the tomb, so it's going to happen pretty quickly in my lifetime, is how they felt. And so they became extremely anxious, extremely anxious. And that's why our parable today speaks about delays. And it's the delay that they would understand as their culture understood weddings, an understanding of Jesus as the bridegroom. So the Jewish tradition of weddings in the first century is different than it is today. First thing that would happen is that the groom and the father and the bride, it's kind of like an arranged marriage. That's not to say that they were all done that way, but most of them were arranged marriages. And the groom and the father would work out what the payment would be, because the groom would pay the father because, you know, he's sort of taking away a potential worker in the family, and there needs to be compensation for that. So a contract would be signed, the marriage contract or the marriage covenant. And then the groom leaves for quite a while, sometimes up to a year, to prepare the house. And for all intents and purposes, they're married, okay? But the groom goes and prepares the house. And more importantly, I'll just put it like this, the groom is working on the marriage room. The groom and the family and friends, when it's all done, the groom and his family and friends will come back to the bride's home with, you know, with the father, and come to pick up the bride to bring her back to the house. And for 7 days, there will be a feast. And in those 7 days, the wedding, the marriage would be consummated. So the bride is waiting, and there is a sense of timing around when the groom should come back, but there are usually maidens, okay, or family and friends of the bride that would kind of stand watch and wait. And they would take lamps with them in case the groom came at night, and there would be somebody off in the distance who would be watching. That's what this is about. This is about those 10 maids who are waiting for the groom. It's coming about the time that the groom should come to get his bride. And so they're waiting. They're relatives of the bride, and they're waiting, and they have their lamps with them, and their lamps are lit just in case it gets dark out. And then we hear what happens with them. They all have lamps. They all have oil. They all fall asleep while they're waiting. Can you imagine these 10 girls, little girls, they're 10, you know, as we would understand younger today, 10, 11 years old probably. And they all fall asleep. They're probably giggling, all excited. And then they all hear the voice and they wake up. The groom is coming. They all trim their lamps, so they get their lamps all ready, so they've got just the right amount of light. But half of them have brought additional oil. You see, they prepared just in case there was a delay. And in our gospel reading, we heard the bridegroom took a long time coming. Any grooms here get nervous when they were getting married? Did you rush right to the place where you were getting married? Did you take a little bit longer? Was my groom on time? Of course, he said, of course. Was your bride on time? Half of them did not expect that there was going to be a delay. Half of them did. So the half that didn't expect the delay and had run out of oil said to the ones who were there, "Can you share your oil with me?" And they said no. Now, as Christians, I'm sorry, that's a tough one for me to understand. How do you say no? I mean, there's got to be some type of sharing going on here, right? But then I recognized that the oil had nothing to do with the physical oil, and it had everything to do with the spiritual oil. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. What does it mean when we have to wait? What is the oil in our lives? What are the things that keep us going until our groom, Jesus Christ, comes back? There has been a long delay for Matthew's community, 30 to 50 years. And the witnesses then are still alive and can talk about Jesus. But guess what? For our community, it's not 1,000 years. that we've been waiting? It's 2,000 years. And that is a really hard wait. You see, in that delay, many of us may have forgotten. Many of us don't even know who the bridegroom is. Many have lost their faith. They've lost their trust. We need that oil, you and I, to keep our light shining while we're waiting, just like our ancestors needed that oil. And many times that oil is passed down through generations and generations, and many times it's not, because an ancestor might have lost all hope. That's exactly why we need each other. Because that oil is what we do to spiritually keep alive in Christ. Keep our lamp lit. Our ancestors waited, and now we wait. And we wait. And waiting is uncomfortable. And we wait. Yet we wait together. We wait together by just coming to worship, to be with each other, to hear each other's stories, to lift each other up, to hear the word that God has for us on this very day. And the word God has for us on this very day is, no, you don't know when I will be coming back. I know when I will be coming back. But I mean, I don't even know when I'll be coming back, is what Jesus says. But I will be coming back. So grab your oil. Grab on to the scripture. Grab on to the word. Grab on to the promises that are given. We come together so we can hear God's word, and then every single day we need to go home and read into scripture more, because that's where we hear our story. My gosh, we can identify, each one of us differently can identify with a story that is in the Bible, and we can hear how God keeps God's promises, even though it feels like forever. Together, I always say, we feel like we're in the wilderness right now, right? We're waiting to come into our firm home, or what we'll call the promised land. You know, that's the biblical story I'm seeing for us right now as a congregation that doesn't have their permanent home yet. Yet God feeds us in the wilderness. God makes promises in the wilderness, and together in the wilderness, we find the hope that's needed to sustain us. How about the meal? How about the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that every Sunday when we come together in worship, we hear those words of forgiveness that we need to hear. We open every Sunday with confession, because every single one of us needs to confess the places in which we have fallen short, because we all fall short, and we need to hear those words of promise and forgiveness. We need to taste it in the bread, in the wine, in the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need that. That is the oil that keeps our lamps lit so that we can see clearly in the darkness of this world. We come together and we wait together in prayer. And we may be praying at home, on our own, in a variety of ways. We may be lamenting. We may be joyous in our prayers. We may share our fears, our hopes, our dreams, our needs. We know what our prayers are. And sometimes we can't even articulate what our prayers are. The Holy Spirit is the one who articulates them for us. And when we come together, we pray, not only corporately during the worship, but when you hear each other's stories, you say, I'm praying for you. Tell me what specifically you would like for me to pray for you. When you can't even put what your needs are in words, the Holy Spirit will lay into your heart those words that the other person needs to hear. That is what keeps our lamps lit. That is the oil. We wait together, serving. Serving in ways that we may know and we may do together corporately, or serving in ways that are only known to you. Every single thing that we do when we wake up in the morning is an act of service. Think about that for a second. Every single thing that we do when we wake up in the morning. Did you eat your breakfast this morning? That's an act of service and love to yourself and to your body. Did you greet someone? That's an act of service of love to another person. Did you acknowledge someone's presence when no one else acknowledged them? That's an act of service. Every single thing that we do, everything that comes out of our mouth, speaks of the love of God. We wait. We wait together and we give generously of our talent, of our time, and of our possessions. There have been social studies that has shown that generosity is the source of joy. The more you give, the more joyous you feel. There was a wonderful book that was written by Christian Smith from Notre Dame, who went out and studied this. You see, that's the oil that keeps our lamps lit. Yeah, we wait. The difference is we wait together, giving generously, serving others joyfully, helping to bring God's kingdom today through equality and justice. We are called in the beginning of Matthew's gospel and the Beatitudes, which we're going to hear again next week. We are called to let our light shine before others so they will give glory to God. And so we wait together, grounded in the hope and grounded in the knowledge that our groom, Jesus Christ, will indeed come again. So let's wait together. Amen.